Just tell me when I'm on. Morning, Rabbi Sai. So we were speaking about Chof Gimel Siva, which is tomorrow, and I mentioned that there are three events, if you like, of note. One event is that it's the day when Yerovam set up the barriers, set up the checkpoints, and set up the Ba'olim in order to prevent people from travelling to Yerushalayim. They couldn't bring Bikurim, they couldn't bring Korbonos, and they were encouraged that if they wanted to bring their Korbonos, then stop here at the barrier, and here's a temple available for you, bring it to Avodah Zorah. So that would have been, and that became, according to Megillas Tanis, that became a Tanis Tzadikim. That was something very sad, that the Bnei Yisrael, the 10 tribes who lived in the northern kingdom, suddenly, from now onwards, cannot bring any korbanos, don't go to Yerushalayim, not only regel, no bikurim, nothing, no shaychas with Yerushalayim. They lost their connection with Yerushalayim. In a way, we've lost our connection with Yerushalayim because of the Churban. For them, that was a bit of a Churban as well. So therefore, for those years, from the time when Yerovam ben Nevat introduced the barriers and introduced the Ba'olim, the temples to Baal, until the Churban Habayis, and then the 70 years of the exile, and the story of Purim. So until then, according to Megillas Tanis, this was a Tanis Tzadikim. It was a day of Tanis. In theory, you've got 10 people, and they're fasting, then you can line by a Chal. People will say Aneinu. No, it says, somewhere I read, maybe in Sefer HaVidor, that the barriers to going to traveling to Yerushalayim stood for 238 years, which is a long time. Yeah, this is most of the time of the Bais Rishon, and Kimat all the time when the Northern Kingdom existed, because the Northern Kingdom went into Golus, the 10 tribes went into Golus 100 years before Churban Habayis in Yerushalayim. So therefore, Kimat all the time of the Northern Kingdom, all the period of the Northern Kingdom throughout those kings, that route to go to Yerushalayim was blocked. So then that was a Tanis Tzadikim. Then came the story of Purim, and then we said that Chof Gimel Sivan is the day when the Igros Shnios went out, when the letters went out to say to the Bnei Yisrael, that to tell everybody the Haman has been hung, the plan is suspended if you like, we can't abolish it, but we can give you permission to defend yourselves. So now it becomes a Yom Simcha. So after that, it's now a combination. It's both a Yom Simcha because of the Igros Shnios, and it's a day of sadness because of the blocking of words. So therefore, the Mephoshim, the Achronim, say that there is this combination. They say that those people who want to, if you like, commemorate the sadness of the fact that the route to Yerushalayim was blocked by Yerovam ben Nevat, therefore, if they want to keep the Tarnis, that they shouldn't keep the Tarnis, they shouldn't be mashlim the Tarnis. You can keep the Tarnis a half a day, but not the full Tarnis, in order to give some recognition to the Yom Simcha of Chof Gimel. Those who keep Chof Gimel as a Yom Simcha, and that's the reason why people make chasnas on Chof Gimel Sivan, is because, those people, they still say Tachnun. They still say Tachnun on the day, tomorrow, even though it's Chof Gimel Sivan, and from that point of view alone, one would have think, oh, because of Yerov ben Nevat, so we're still going to keep some Avelus as well, and still say Tachnun. So ask the Rav, Chosn and Kala tomorrow, who've got that
Tuesday.
What?
Tuesday, tomorrow.
It's Chof Gimel tomorrow.
Yes.
Chof Gimel's tomorrow, as far as I know.
Okay.
I'm not speaking. Yeah. Sorry. So Chosn Kala tomorrow. Yeah. Do they have to fast? Because from point of view of Chof Gimel Sivan, Igros Shnios, then you say it's a Yom Simcha. Mitzad, Yerovam ben Nevat, having set up the block, the barriers to go into Yerushalayim, it's a day of sadness. So he said, Lo shamanu me'olam, the Chosn Kala should fast. Unless there are other reasons why they don't have to fast, but if Chosn Kala are healthy and well and everything is Baruch Hashem okay, then they should fast tomorrow. That's Psak of Rebbe Weinberg. I'm just communicating it because it's Negei Lemaisa to my granddaughter.
Start today, the Torah Way, Northwest London, Sunday, Kof Bay 7th of June, Rabbi Dr. Samuel Landau Shlita, co-founder and clinical director of Yadid, turning Torah into Tefillah, bridging the intention-action gap. This week's Torah has been sponsored in Nishmas Reb Chaim Mendel Ben Reb Tzvi, Zichron Rocha, Ole Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Reb Yitzchak Dov, Ben Mishal, Shimon Michal Tzvi, Itzkowitz, Zichron Rocha.
Good morning.
How do we bridge the intention-action gap? What's the intention-action gap? Well, we've just come out of the Yontif of Shavuos. We've had beautiful, inspiring words of Torah. And of course, every day there might be things that push us to want to do better, to bring more Torah into our lives, to do more mitzvahs, to build our middos, to take care of our family differently, to show up to work differently, to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. But how many of us have had good intentions that haven't quite transformed into actions? How many of us can come out of a yontif such as Shavuos and feel like we're ready to attack a new project in Torah, a new project in mitzvos, and only a few weeks later for those intentions to have already withered away and our actions are still the same? So Sheeran and Webb, a couple of psychologists, try to clarify what is this intention-action gap and think about ways of bridging that gap. The truth is, clinically also, sometimes people will come into therapy and will present some sort of change program. Sometimes with cognitive behavioral therapy, we have a throwback to school because we call it homework. And you have to do your homework, which is your therapeutic homework from session to session. And it does feel a little bit like that guilty hangover from the past, because you have your review at the beginning of next week's session and it's a little bit like, sorry sir, I didn't quite get to my homework. And you think, hold on a second, you're so motivated to come and change your life, you're having a really hard time. And yet, in between sessions, sometimes things don't go to plan. And indeed, if we bring that back into the Torah / clinical frame, some of my patients come to me and say the reason, the thing that they want to work on, is cheshek. Cheshek. What does that mean? I think within the Olam we have this sense that there's something called being part of the Torah program, and there's an energy, there is a motivation, there's a drive that is necessary to be part of the Torah program, and we call it cheshek. And it's almost like if I don't have cheshek, if I don't have that desire, that drive, that motivation to do something, then my outcome, my actions, will not follow. So how... So how should we look at Torah? Can we look at Torah and understand the depth of what Torah is to understand how action and intention, there should be no gap whatsoever? If we truly understand what Torah is, what's the essence of Torah, then perhaps there should be no gap between action and intention. But still there seems to be this psychological gap called cheshek, motivation, and we'll see if there's something within Torah that teaches us about motivation. So we start with one of the last Mishnayos in the essence of Pirkei Avos, in Perek Hei, Mishnah Chof Beis. It's famously been immortalized into a song by Shwaki. Ben Bagbag Oimer, Ben Bagbag says, Ha'foichba v'ha'foichba dekulaba. Turn it over and turn it over again, because everything is in Torah. Everything's in Torah. What does it mean, everything's in Torah? Let's try and understand what does it mean, everything's in Torah. So the Zohar says in Parshas Truma, it's the famous words, Istakel b'Bayraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, Ubara Alma. And he created the world. Somehow there's something creative about Torah, generative about Torah, that the Torah seems to be the blueprint of the world. Everything's in Torah. Is everything in Torah? Sorry, it sounds slightly heretical to ask that question. Is everything in Torah? I was speaking to Dayan Zobin about this, and he gave a nice moshul to try and elaborate. Is everything in Torah? He said, look, if someone would call me up with a shaila, the milky spoon has fallen into the meaty sink. What do I have to do? So I know what to do. There's Torah about Hilchos Basar V'Challav, Hilchos Tarovos. What was it, hot? Was there soap? Was there Be'ein? When was it last used? I can give them an answer. But let's imagine that Erev Sukkos, someone calls me up, says, Dayan, I'm building a sukkah. Well, you know, that's great. What can I help you with? Should I use a Phillips screwdriver or a flathead screwdriver? What does the Torah say? So does the Torah comment on Phillips screwdrivers versus flathead screwdrivers? Or is there maybe a way of thinking, a way of a craftsmanship called carpentry? And if you should call the carpenter rather than calling the Dayan. So is it true that kulaba, everything's in there, even carpentry's in there? Now, as an aside, there are famous stories of Gedolim who had some access to knowledge in the Torah that almost seems like everything's in there. Right, the famous story of Reb Chaim with the brain tumor. He was able to map out exactly where the doctors should go, and the neurologists and neuroscientists across the world were flabbergasted, were misspoiled that this Rav sitting in his little apartment in Bnei Brak should have neuroscientific knowledge. But for the Hamunim, it seems like there is something maybe called Chochmah, some sort of wisdom that sits outside of Torah, such as carpentry, such as medicine, such as music, which isn't necessarily part of Torah. And then there's Torah, which may have a different subject matter. So how can Ben Bagbag claim Kolobo? And indeed, the Medrash in Eicha Rabbah tries to communicate a distinction between Chochmah on the one hand and Torah on the other. The Medrash says, if a person would say to you that there is Chochmah, there's wisdom, there's some sort of set of knowledge within the Goyim, within the nations, what do we say? Tamin, believe him. If they would say that there's Torah b'goyim, al tamin, don't believe him. Which suggests there's something called Torah and something called Chochmah. And that Torah has one sort of wisdom and Chochmah has another sort of wisdom. Let's try and understand what is the difference between Torah and Chochmah. We're going to look at two different thinkers on this topic. The first is the Maharal in Derech HaChaim on that mission of Ben Bagbag. And the second is Rav Huttner. So the Maharal in Derech HaChaim comments on Ben Bagbag. He says, what does it mean to kulobo? This needs explanation. Eich nimsa b'Torah hakol. How can everything be in Torah? Sha'ama de kula bai. We say everything's in it. So he says, Ki ha Torah hi ha seida ha sichli shesider Hashem yisbarach seida han hagasoi shel Adam. The Torah is the spiritual order, the spiritual code that God used to order the way of man. And this Seder, this code, was necessary from the beginning. And he says that's why the Torah is called Reishis. The Torah is the beginning because it is the source of all. What does it mean it's the order for humanity? It's because humanity is the ultimate level, the pinnacle of creation. That's why humanity is the last thing to be created on the sixth day. Because for humanity, everything was created. And therefore, for the needs of humanity and their order, Nimshach Seid HaOlam followed the order of the world. Because I've got the creation of the world from Hashem created for us following what man needed. We needed gravity, we needed oxygen, we needed a balance of oxygen, carbon dioxide, and nitrogen in the environment. Everything that humanity needed, that was written into Torah. Now when we talk about a code that is read out, and that it's a fundamental code within which all life is created, from which all life is created, do you know of something in the physical world that has such a property? Something that it's read out all the time and from it codes the entirety of life. DNA. Thank you, Robert Kramer. DNA. Inside every cell, inside the nucleus, is the heart, the beating heart of the cell, is something called DNA. DNA is a series of bases. And that DNA strand, I think if you would unwrap it, it would go many times around the world. This tiny little strand of bases codes for every single expression of the human body or any organism that exists. Every organism is built upon DNA. Now, is it always coding for all things? No, it depends on what has to happen at that point in time. But you read the DNA, you read the double helix for a specific protein, and then that protein is created, and then those proteins form together to create larger and larger structures. But there is a code written into every cell of a human body, every cell of an organism, and that code is the structure of life. I think the Maharal is saying that the DNA of the world is Torah, that the Torah codes for every part of creation. The Torah is, it's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to open up this blueprint, had to read out the double helix of Torah, and from that double helix, from that Torah code, came the entirety of the world. And that's what Ben Bagbag is saying, says the Maharal further, V'zesh amah hafeich ba do kulo bei, turn it over because everything is in it. Klomar ka'asheh yasig ba Torah, when a person is engaging with Torah, he nehu mesig b'chol seid ha-metzias. He's engaging with the whole order of creation. He's reading out a part of the DNA of the universe. Because the ways of the world come from the ways of Torah. And the ways of the world are connected to the ways of the Torah. Until everything comes from the Torah. Because that's the order of the humanity, of the creation, the final point of creation. It turns out that everything is in the Torah. You would ask, you know, how do I find out about a human being? So you could look at their biology, you could look at their physiology, you could look at their psychology, but also if you want to get to the very heart, the very source, the very essence, you look at their DNA. So the Maharal now comments. He says, well, hold on a second, when I'm learning a Tosfos and Cheskos Habasim, do I feel like I'm accessing the DNA of the universe? He says, no. Even though when a person is learning Torah, they don't really understand exactly how from the Tosfos and Cheskos Habasim, we get to the creation of the world. So from his asik b'dover sheyeshlo ma'ale elyona dekulabei. At the end of the day, he's engaging with something which is incredibly holy, incredibly special, because it is the source of all creation. He's learning something which is written into the fabric of the universe. Does he understand how? Does he understand the translation? No. But it is there. Which suggests to us that the essence of Torah is to create. Torah is something about making something happen. Everything in Torah finds its expression somewhere in the universe. So when we learn Torah, Torah has to find some sort of generativity. We talk about generative AI these days, and artificial intelligence that can create itself and create new ideas. Torah is the heart of all generativity, is the original generative artificial intelligence. Not artificial, but the original generative intelligence. It is the thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to create. And so when we learn Torah, we also have to try and feel something that is creative. So if we think about the intention, action, gap. If we learn Torah, but it doesn't, it's not the Maaser, what's wrong? What's wrong is we haven't quite understood that Torah. That Torah has to be the Maaser, that Torah has to energize us. The energy should be found in the Torah itself. By the way, Rav Hutna expresses this even further. There's two different places that Rav Hutna, I think, speaks about this most intensely. The first is in his Marmarim on Shavuos, because he's talking about what Torah is. Can anyone guess where the other place Rav Hutna talks about the essence of Torah is? Pardon? Not Simchas Torah, Chanukah. Why? Because Chanukah is the edge between Torah on the one hand and Chochmah on the other. And because what did the Greeks want to do? There's the old joke, I think we've even said it here once. What did the Greeks want to do? Because the standard model of Jewish festivals is they wanted to kill us, we won, let's eat. Purim is a great example. Haman and his collaborators wanted to kill us. There was a battle, there was a military battle across the provinces of Shushan and Persia, and we won. And let's eat. Not only do we eat, we drink. It's a wonderful Suda. Hanukkah doesn't fit the bill. Did they want to kill us? They didn't want to kill us. They wanted to take away some of our religious practice, specifically Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Bris Milah. Did we win? Well, even though we regained the temple precinct through the Chashmonaim, the actual war meant about a decade later was lost, and we became a vassal state of the Hellenists and the Greek Empire after the splintering from Alexander's generals. And do we eat? Well, so there's no, only according to the Levush, is there a mitzvah suda on Hanukkah? So everyone who's feels like you have to eat a donut or have to eat a latke. There's no mitzvah to eat a donut or a latke. Maybe an Indian, maybe a minhag. There's no mitzvah. We don't have to eat. So the entirety of Hanukkah is something else. What did the Greeks really want to do? They wanted to take the Torah and make it Chochmah. Say, this is like every other wisdom tradition under the sun. We'll translate this into Greek. What's the big chaval of translating the Torah into Greek? You take it out of a language of essence. You take it out of its DNA, genetic code. And you make it like every other book in the library. It's one other Chochmah. Because what says Rav Hutna is the difference between Chochmah and Torah. Chochmah describes what is. Torah creates. Chochmah explains the incredible depth and unity of the world. Chochmah is trying to understand what is, but if you took that Chochmah away, creation wouldn't be affected. He says as follows, if you burn a medical textbook, the human body remains unaffected. The medical textbook has understood what is in the human body. It tells us something about the existence of the world. But if you take away Torah, if you burn Torah, Chas v'shalom, says Rav Hutna, then the world would burn too. Because the essence, the creativity of the world comes from Torah. Torah is not a commentary on life, it's the engine, it's the generative engine of reality itself. And we know this in Torah. We know that there are certain parts of Torah which are even so critically generative. That's what the Greeks were coming against. Let's take Kiddush HaChodesh as one. The Greeks wanted to take away Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a funny thing that's the one mitzvah. They had to put out some mitzvahs from the 613. That's the one that they, one of the three that they wanted to get rid of. Why? Because what happens with Kiddush HaChodesh? We don't do it nowadays. We have the calendar. But what happens? Two people see a sliver of moon in the sky. They run to Beis Din Yerushalayim, and the Beis Din asserts that now this is the calendrical new month. What happens if they're wrong? What happens if it's not true? Doesn't matter. Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. It's the partnership, the shutfus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us on earth that creates reality. Ad kedei kach, that if there was in the Gemara a situation of whether a little girl's body could change or not change, because whether she's 3 years old or not 3 years old, I don't want to speak it out in its entire detail right here, then whether we Mekadesh the Chodesh changes her reality. Changes reality itself. Why? Because Torah creates. And so if we feel that there is a distinction between our Torah and our making things happen, our action, our creativity, then there might be a problem. And if you want to think about what we just experienced in Shavuos, what's the one word that is used twice in the Torah to express Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah? We don't say Nekabel. We don't even start off with Nishma. We say Naaseh. Torah has to be linked to action. Says the Mishnah Avos, Perek Dalet. Rabbi Shmuel, his son, said, Alomer Torah amenas lalamid. You learn Torah just to learn. Just to teach and to learn. You learn it as a scholarly activity. Maspikin biyad alomer lalamid. That's fine. Then you'll be able to learn and to teach it. Alomer amenas lasos. But to learn, because you want that learning to change your behavior, to become lemaisa, to become amenas lasos, to do, maspikin biyad alilmoid, or lalamid lishma valasos. Then we get given not only, of course, to teach and to learn. If of course, it fills our intellect, fills our soul, but also, Nishma Velasas, we have the capacity to make it real, to do it, and to take care of it. So we have to understand that Torah has to be generative. It's written into the heart of Torah. It's the beating creative power of this universe. But there is something still lacking here. And that's the energy that brings that together. Within the world of, again, psychology, there is a model of change. They call it this Prochaska and DiClemente's trans-theoretical model of change. Why is it trans-theoretical? They try to say it applies across all different boundaries, across all different ways of looking at human behavior. There are these stages of change that every human goes through. And normally when we present this publicly, we talk about an obvious thing of changing. For example, I want to go on a diet. So the first stage is pre-contemplation. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just enjoying myself. It's yontif, it's delicious, it's wonderful, the cheesecake is good, the ice cream is good, the blintzes are good, everything is fine, I'm not thinking about it. Then there's contemplation. A few days after yontif, I start thinking about it. Why? Oh, my trousers are feeling a bit tight. Something needs to change. Now, I'm not yet planning to do anything with it. I'm just thinking about it. A few days continue, and that thinking changes somehow into contemplating a change. Let me think about making a change. Okay, I could take out a gym membership, start with a personal trainer, or begin a diet plan. Preparation still, though, it isn't yet action. I'm thinking about it, I'm taking the right steps, then there's action. I'm going to go, I'm going to make something happen. I begin my diet plan, I begin my exercise. That's all very exciting, but that's not enough, because how many of us have started that, and within a week or two, it's all gone. So then there's maintenance. You've got to keep that new habit, that new way of going, that new way of being in play. By the way, the last stage is relapse. But not many of us can keep it going forever, so we have a relapse and then we go back to pre-contemplation. We're not thinking about it anymore. Until next Shavuos, maybe. Now, that's true with something as simple as weight, but what about also wanting to change ourselves in Torah? Wanting to be a better human being? That same cycle of pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance, and then relapse is also present. But the energy, I think, that keeps us going, that keeps us moving into action, into maintenance, is motivation. It's to build some desire, some drive. I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva who used to talk about the wish to will to want. Sometimes it's not just about gaining the motivation, it's the wanting for the motivation. It's the wish to will to want that motivation. The wish to will to want. How do we build that? Is there something in Torah that can help us build that? Do you have a question? So here I want to shift gears somewhat from the Ramchal, from the Maharal, and from Rav Huttner through to something a bit more contemporary and Hasidic. And I want to talk about Rabbi Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman has an incredible insight into how to build motivation, how to build that energy to take this DNA of the universe and make it our own, and make us become partners in that generativity. Rabbi Nachman, this is a very famous part of Likutei Moharan, and it's in part Likutei Moharan Tinyana, section 25, part 1. So part 1, section 25. And this is where he initially starts talking about hispodidus. Hispodidus has lots of different ways of looking at it. It maybe has a bad rap sometimes because there's a stereotype of people screaming in the fields, which might have some place at some time. But there is another way to look at hispodidus. So I want to share with you that little part about hispodidus, but then get into the heart of what he talks about, which is turning Torah into tefillah. So he says, hispodidus humala elyona gedola min hakol. Says hispodidus, being alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that word hispodidus, lihitboded, has become very much part of public or modern Hebrew terminology following Corona, because we talked about hitbodedut or lihitboded as being in isolation during that time. Some people were incredibly, incredibly broken by having to be isolated. Rabbi Nachman would have a field day. He'd say, Baruch Hashem, I get to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. He says it's one of the greatest things. Why? Dahainu likboya loy al kopanim shah o yosel is boded levado be'ezer cheda uba sadeh. That means to fix at least an hour or so, or maybe more, to be alone. Maybe in a room or in the field. Ulefarish sichasoi beinu levin koinoi. And to express his conversation between him and his creator. Betanos, v'amaslois, with claims, with requests. V'divrechein, v'ritzu yufius, words of grace. Words of ritzui, words of coming close, words of appeasement, levakesh lischanim milafanechi yisbaruch, to request and to ask for grace, to ask for kindness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shi karavu elov, la'avodaso be'emes, that he should come close to him to serve him in truth. And he carries on and he says, this shouldn't be in Hebrew, if we don't understand Hebrew. At the time, in his text, he says it should be belashan ashkenaz, should be in whatever the lingua franca is at the time. So if we want to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Queen's English, the King's English, then we can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the King's English. And he distinguishes this between formal prayer. In formal prayer, we go through the formal motions. It's holy words, and the Anshekhness is HaKadola. Those are words of connection that all of us are engaging in. And yet he says there's a space also just to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now sometimes the idea of speaking to Hashem for an hour at a time, fixing aside an hour in our day, is like, oh my gosh, how can I do that? But maybe to do it something within to start within the structure of the day. The 5-minute walk to shul, rather than using that 5 minutes to kind of glance at our phone or think about other things, just to speak to Hashem. How would I like to show up today? How would I like my life to live, to be? What are the things in my heart that I can't quite find the words anywhere else to find? But here's, in this walk, I could just talk to you. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing. One of my children, who gives me great nachas to share it, when I close the door, I know that she's not gone to bed yet. Why? Because every night, after she said Kriyat Shema LaMitzvah, while she's in Kriyat Shema LaMitzvah, and she's made her brachos, she just talks to Hashem about her day. She lies there talking to Hashem about her day. It makes me the happiest dad alive to know that that's the relationship my daughter has with Hashem. And we can all have that relationship. Just to talk to Hashem about our day. To talk to Him about what we want. To talk to Him about what's gone well. And the things that we also, and we want to thank Him for, and the things that haven't gone well so yet, and we want to ask for some more of. It's building that relationship. And within that relationship, says Rabbi Nachman in the next paragraph, in the next section of this Torah, Gam tov la'asos meha Torah tefillah. It's also good to change one's Torah into tefillah. What does that mean? Dehainu k'shalomed o'shamea eza maima Torah. Mitzadik ha'emes. That when a person learns or hears a certain insight in Torah, a certain teaching of Torah, he says, because it's a Hasidic context, from a true tzaddik. But of course, Abai and Rava are also tzaddikim amitiim. Every one of the rebbeim throughout history were tzaddikim amitiim. Azah yaseh mizeh tefillah. We should turn this into tefillah. Why? How? Da'ainu levakesh leschanin lefan of Yisbarach al kol mash nem Hashem ba'os ha'mama. That means to request and to beg from Hashem, to ask His favor. for everything that was in that mama, for everything that was in that teaching. When will he also come to that place? When we come to that midah, when will he come to that Torah? And how far he is from there right now. So you're learning the Tosis and Teskas Abatin. You could just leave it on the page. It could just be a gewaldige daher. A beautiful insight from a Rosh Hashiva, an Achron in that Tosfos. You could leave it like that. But then maybe you could close the Gemara, and before you get up from that Gemara, you could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've been so inspired by the learning in this, by the sharpness of the mind, by the clarity of thought, by the way that they hold so dearly the sensitivities of one Baal Din versus another Baal Din. Let me have that sensitivity. Let me have that clarity of thought. Please give me that in my life. Because if I had that in my life, I'd show up to work differently. I'd show up to Seder differently. I'd show up in my family differently. That's even when it's not so lemaisa. Cheskes Abatim is not necessarily so lemaisa. But you're learning something about Shabbos. You're learning a prat of Hilchos Shabbos. And you come out of that and you say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please. Give me more of that Shabbos energy in my Shabbos. I want to light up my Shabbos with being so mindful about Melechus Machshavos, about the different parts of the things that I've just learned. Everything we learn, don't leave it as just a topic. Don't leave it just as an inspirational shiur, something we once heard about. Ask Hashem and ask Hashem and ask Hashem for that to become mine, for that to express itself in my life, for the Torah of energy of creativity to show up in my life, that I should be creating that too. The motivation is right there. We just have to turn the Torah into tefillah. We have to decide we want it and we ask for it. And it goes back to that section in Pirkei Avos. Who is Rabbi Shmuel talking about when he says Torah Amanas Lamed versus Torah Amanas Lasis? The Baal Tanura there quotes a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which quotes Rava and Abaye. Rava, it seems, loved to learn. He just enjoyed learning. It was beautiful. It was his delight. Did he also do mitzvos? Of course he did mitzvos. But what was his energy? What did he really want? He just wanted to learn. And then he did Gemilas Chasadim afterwards. That's the first one. Halomei Torah Manas Lamed, Maspikin Oso Lomei De Lamed. You can become Rava. But Abaye was different. Abaye saw in his Torah the energy to become good. The energy to do mitzvahs. He saw that his learning was not just to be a Rosh Hashiva, it was also to be someone who was going around the community and being a Baal Chesed. And that's the second one. And the Vilna Gaon on that Mishnah quotes the Medrash, "V'derech she'adam rotzeh leilech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu molichin oso." That where a person wants to go, Hashem takes him. That with the ratzon that we create, that's where Hashem takes us. How do we make a ratzon? Well, actually, by asking for something, we make that ratzon real. Now, it's not always so easy. When someone comes into my clinic and they say, I don't have cheshek anymore. I don't have desire. I haven't done my homework. Sometimes we have to help them find that motivation. We have to help them find where is their place in Torah. But certainly for all of us, when we see something so special, let's not just leave it as a beautiful idea. Let's turn to our Creator in heaven and say, I want to partner with you in creation because that's what Torah is. Let me have some more of this. I want more. I wish to will to want more. And with that ratzon, please God, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will take us all to greater and greater heights.
What did you do?
It is a small charity for Jewish boys' mental health. 880. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just wonder what the red light is.